This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Overland Park, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Good morning, Christ Church. In the absence of being able to be together again this Sunday, it's good to be able to be together this way. We actually have some friends who are going to join us this morning, our brothers and sisters from St. Francis Chapel in Kampala are going to be joining with us and watching this. They recently have been told that they have to shut down their churches for at least the next 30 days. So it looks like we're all in this together. And so greetings to you at St. Francis Chapel from Christ Church. We're glad that you can be with us this morning. I'm Reverend Patrick, and I've had the privilege of preaching at St. Francis on a couple of occasions, been there many times. We have also with us Reverend Amanda. She's been to St. Francis the last couple of years with me. Reverend Dean, he's been there, I think, quite a few years ago, but it's really good to be with you. We just received a letter from Reverend Onesimus that was sent out to our entire church, and it was really a great word of encouragement and exhortation to us, and so we're really grateful for that. Thank you, Onesimus. It was really, your words were perfect. They were exactly what we needed to hear. My word this morning to all of us, both at Christ Church and St. Francis Chapel, is from Proverbs 18, verse 10. It says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And so that's my encouragement to all of us, is to run to the Lord. Put our trust in Him. Keep our eyes on Him. You know, Peter, when he was walking on the water, he was fine until he took his eyes off of Jesus. And when he took his eyes off of Jesus, he started to sink. And so my encouragement to us is to keep our eyes on Jesus. Take them off of the TV and all of the information and media stuff that is coming at us, because that really, when we put our eyes on all of that, we start to sink into the sea of anxiety. And so I encourage you to keep your eyes on the Lord, stay focused on Him, and we will be well. He will keep us. He'll give us peace. Now this morning we're going to work through this service. There's going to be things that we're going to encourage you to say along with us, to pray with us. Those things will come up on your screen, and you'll have the words there, the text there provided for you. I'll begin with an opening word from Scripture. This is Joel chapter 2. It says in verse 13, "Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love."
So hearing those words, let's return to the Lord and let's bring to mind those things that have caused us to turn away from Him. And I would just say, if you're at home, wherever you are, somewhere in Uganda, join us in confessing our sins against God and our neighbor. Jesus, forgive us. Forgive the sins that I can remember, and also the sins that I have forgotten. Forgive the wrong actions I have committed, and the right actions I have omitted. Forgive the times I have been weak in the face of temptation, and those when I have been stubborn in the face of correction. Forgive the times I have been proud of my own achievements, and those when I have failed to boast of your works. Forgive the harsh judgments I have made of others, and the leniency I have shown myself. Forgive the lies I have told to others, and the truths that I have avoided. Forgive me of the pain I have caused others, and the indulgence I have shown to myself. Jesus, have pity on me, and make me whole. Amen. 1 John reminds us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And so we've confessed our sins. And so now may the Father of mercies, who sent His Son into the world to save sinners, grant you His pardon and His peace. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, Christ Church, Overland Park and Mission and all of our friends in Uganda, Dean here. And I just want to talk first about how when things are really unstable, it helps to have things that are familiar and comforting. You know, our kids do that. They have like special stuffed animals and blankies and things like that. And their lives, they need those things because their lives are filled and marked by such unpredictability. And so they like to have those things that are predictable and safe. But we adults do that too, actually, in lots of ways. One of my favorite is comfort food, right? Food that is like familiar to us, like our favorite home-cooked meal from when we were kids. What are your guys' favorite comfort foods, Amanda?
I'm glad you didn't ask about stuffed animals. So can I say two?
Please.
All right, one is coffee. Which
that
is
counts.
Not a food,
that
but
yeah.
There's something about place also. So like Fridays are my day off, latte and a good book and my journal, like that moment and drinking my latte is great. But also my mom makes this carrot casserole, which sounds probably kind of gross,
okay. Yes.
But it's like the most delicious thing I've ever had. Nice. I don't know anybody who makes this casserole, but it's like cheesy and rich and delicious and it reminds me of home.
Nice, I love it. Yeah. Patrick, what about you?
Biscuits and gravy.
That's a good one.
That's a
biscuits
one.
And gravy, fried chicken. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. So mine, three words, tuna, noodle, casserole.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's right.
That's disgusting.
Patrick, no?
I gotta go.
It's just like the food my mom would make when I was a kid. It just has a special place in my heart, you know? It's like a comfort food.
Tuna what?
Tuna noodle casserole. Have you not had this? The crackers on top.
Are you serious?
Peas,
no way.
Some peas on the side.
I wouldn't get within a mile of that.
I really do.
I would stay permanently quarantined if I had to get near that.
I'm guessing our Uganda friends also cannot connect with that tuna noodle casserole. I don't know what their comfort food is. I remember eating a lot of matoke when I was there. That's mashed plantains, basically, I think.
Groundnut sauce.
Oh, yeah.
Good stuff. We all have those things, those foods and those parts of our lives that really help us to feel safe and secure. And there's something really stabilizing about predictable and familiar things in times of unpredictability like we're in now, you know? And so I would commend to you those finding and embracing those things that are predictable and familiar in your life, especially like you and especially if you have kids or a family, like if you have some of those things, hold tight to them. If you don't, then start some. Those rhythms and predictable routines really help to provide like some emotional stability for us in times of unpredictability. And so that's why I'm glad we are looking at Psalm 23 today. Psalm 23 is it happens to be the assigned psalm for today, and I am grateful for that because I would make the case that Psalm 23 is like the comfort food of Scripture.
It's the tuna noodle casserole.
Or the bits of
latte.
That's not fair to even say Psalm 23 and tuna noodle casserole in the same sentence.
Okay, fair enough. But it is, many of us have memorized Psalm 23, maybe if you haven't even, maybe without even trying. We've just heard it so many times, and it's kind of gotten into us. It's like etched on plaques in our grandmother's kitchens, and it's read at every funeral that we attend. And so let's kind of anchor ourselves to this powerful passage of Scripture today and moving forward. And in fact, we're actually asking you, commending to you, that you would consider memorizing Psalm 23 during this season. Read it aloud, read it, and read it again. You know, you maybe already kind of have it in you a little bit, but commit it to memory. I think it will be a stabilizing word for you in the days and weeks to come. And so, in that spirit, let's just start by reading Psalm 23 together. It's on your screen if you'd like to read it with us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death,
I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life,
and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
So why is this passage so comforting to us? Why is it like the comfort food of the Bible? Why is it stabilizing to us? Why is it in kitchens and at funerals? Because it is full of things that God does for us. The psalm wonderfully articulates many of the things that God does for us. So we're going to talk about several of them this morning and under three categories, and we'll just have a reflection time together. Number one, the Lord provides for us. Number two, the Lord helps in times of trouble. And number three, the Lord has good things for us. So let's start with the first one. The Lord provides for me. The first several verses here make a point to show that God provides everything that we need. The passage, the key phrase there is, I shall not want. Mm-hmm. Now, Jenny, my wife, was telling me that in her grandparents' house, they had a cross-stitch thing on the wall that had this verse, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And as a kid, she always thought it meant that her grandparents didn't want the shepherd. You know, I shall not want. He's the shepherd that no one wants. But of course, what it's articulating is that we will not be in need, that we'll have everything that we need. And so, Patrick, why don't you tell us a little bit about what is the Lord provides for us? How do you see that in this passage?
I love the idea of God's provision that I shall not want. He takes care of me. He provides for me. He leads me to green grass to eat and still waters to drink. He provides refreshment and restoration to my soul. Those are all just extremely comforting words, and I don't think they need a whole lot of explanation. I mean, they're so beautiful and poignant, they don't need much explanation. But I think the key for me comes in that very first few words, the Lord is my shepherd. And so sheep, actual sheep, have no say in who their shepherd is. They just either have a shepherd or they don't, I suppose. But for us, who in many ways are like sheep, but in many ways we are obviously not like sheep. And so for the Lord to be our shepherd, that's something that we actually have to do. Hmm. We have to allow the Lord to shepherd us. We have to be willing to submit to Him and to follow Him, follow His lead. And so I think that's the key to this whole thing. The Lord has to be our shepherd. Mm. And so that would be my encouragement to all of us, is to follow the Lord, to submit to Him, to obey Him. And when we do, when we follow Him as our shepherd, we can be assured of His provision, that He will take care of us.
That's really good. For me, what stuck out was from verse 3. It says, He leads me in paths of righteousness. And I think so often my default mentality is that God is the destination at the end of the path of righteousness. And so if I, you know, trudge that path of righteousness and I work hard to walk that path, that eventually I'll find God at the end of it. And that's just not what this passage says. It says that He leads me in paths of righteousness, and so that He's with me along that path. He's not the destination, He's with me along the way. And as I try to walk the path of righteousness, He's guiding me. He's giving me wisdom and discernment with each step. And if I just, as Patrick was talking about, as you were saying with the shepherd, you know, if I listen to His voice and if I look to Him, then He will guide me along that path. And I know that's something that I need in talking about what God gives us and provides for us. And so I love that part. Secondly, the Lord helps in times of trouble. The Lord helps me in times of trouble. The psalm gives voice to what God does for us in difficult times. And it's one of the reasons why I love this passage and why it is so beloved, I think, is because it doesn't skirt the reality that we all face, that life is marked by real difficulty. This passage faces that head on and tries to tell us exactly where God is at in the midst of trouble. We are in a time of trouble right now, to be sure. I know the difficulty that's weighing on many of your hearts and minds. It's weighing on mine too. Disappointments and loss regarding our world being kind of turned upside down for the time being. Some of you are on the front lines of medical care. Some of you are facing the reality of 5 months or more of being at home with your kids and trying to educate them and nurture them and discipline them and entertain them. You know, many of you are worried about the economic fallout of these times. Will I have a job? What will we do financially? Not to mention the actual health threat of the virus itself. And so we for sure are in a time of trouble. And so what does this psalm teach us about these times? Patrick, what do you think?
I think it teaches us, you know, let me back up. Let's think about this line, this phrase. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You know, we all face trials and tribulations in life. It's undeniable. And all of us, every single one of us, is going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We all will. And we don't sometimes like to think about it, but actually all of us are one day closer to that walk. But here's the thing that brings me comfort in these words. If the Lord our shepherd is with us, even in our greatest fear, which is death itself, you know, if he's with us and has actually through his own death and resurrection delivered us from death and given us eternal life, then there is ultimately nothing to fear. So if he's delivered us from our greatest fear, then there's really nothing else we should fear, because he's ultimately provided for our safety, for our well-being. And so even in times like this, when it's unlike anything we've ever seen before, and it's very troubling, but I still think there's a peace for us. There's a confidence knowing that God is watching out for us and taking care of us. And so that's what I'm trying to rest in, that reality. And that's my encouragement to all of us to take these words to heart, that he's with us, even in the worst of things. He's with us.
That's good. I know, just a quick comment about that. I feel this way. I know probably all of us feel this way, that we're economically insecure, our health is unstable, the structures that we've come to depend on seem to be falling like a house of cards, and I don't mean to be grim, but that's just kind of the situation that we're in. However, I think in some ways that's good, because we could never really depend on those structures anyway. Totally. And so, like what Patrick was saying and what the psalm says, is that we actually do have one we can depend on. And he's not a distant dictator, but a shepherd who's very near and very close to us. He leads us and guides us and gives us all that we need. So that's incredibly comforting for me, and I hope to you too.
Yeah, that's really good. This whole deal is exposing all of our real fears, you know, but if we look at the greatest fear of all, and Jesus gives us peace even for that, then yeah, that helps a great deal.
Yeah.
The line for me that stuck out in kind of thinking about how God protects us and how he is with us in our time of need was this line: "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." I think that paints a really cool picture, actually. A person sitting at a full table, like a feast, but in the presence of their enemies. And you'd think that if you were sitting down to a table with your enemies, you would be like perched on the edge of your seat, and you'd be, you know, scarfing down your food really quickly, and your head would be on a swivel, and you'd be anxious and ready. As soon as you finished your food, you'd be ready to pop up and, you know, kind of back away and defend yourself and get out of there.
Especially if it's tuna casserole. I got to eat it.
Got to scarf that down. but not here. Not here. That's not the picture painted. Here, a person is sitting down to eat a feast. And God hasn't taken the enemies away. They are there at the table with you. But you are able to be at peace at the table with them. And that is what I crave for this time. It does feel like there are enemies kind of all around us right now, and it doesn't feel like they're going away anytime soon. But God can give me, can give you a peace even in their presence. And that's my prayer for myself and for you. Peace in the presence of our enemies. Okay, last thing that I think this psalm shows us is that the Lord has good things for me. You know, this passage, as the, in the first point, it kind of shows us that he provides enough for us, so we'll never be in need. And the second point showed us that that God will protect us, and so we won't perish, you know, in his hands. But this third part of the psalm, I think, shows us that he has even more for us, that he has good things for us, more than just enough and more than just protection. Amanda, what do you see there?
What stands out to me is, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And, you know, we're in a season that is marked by trouble. It's marked by global trouble, and there are lots of nuances of that trouble. And, you know, maybe you had a season of trouble before this. I know I had a pretty big loss this last year. I lost my dad, and so that was a season of trouble, and it was very personal. But this is global. And, you know, kind of in the midst of these seasons, God's goodness is the anchor for me. And what does that mean? What is God's goodness? Well, I think it means showers of grace. It means his steadfast love. It means all the things about God, which is everything, that is unchangeable. All the certainty about God in the midst of uncertainty. That is his goodness. But it also makes me think of, when I think of goodness, I think of more than enough. I think of abundance, which is also addressed in the psalm. And even kind of going back to the feast, preparing a feast at that time, the time that David wrote the psalm, was very humble work. So it's actually kind of a nod to the cross. The fact that God humbles himself for us is also an expression of his goodness. But then, you know, thinking about his mercy and thinking about goodness and mercy following us makes me think about the relentlessness of God and the way that he pursues us. There's this story written by Anne Lamott, and she talks about her conversion to Christianity and Jesus being like a little kitten at her heels, and she's like kicking the kitten away. You know, she doesn't want to let him into her life, but he just continues to pursue her with his mercy. And here she is, addicted to drugs and alcohol, and he just continues. And finally, kind of paraphrasing, she says, "Fine, you can come in." And she lets him into her life. And I think that, along with the psalm, is a picture of the fact that God's mercy and goodness is relentless. And I actually connect that back to what you said earlier, Dean, about God not being the destination, but right here with us. So not only does he continuously lead us, but he continuously pursues us. So let that be a word of encouragement for you when you feel like, what's going to happen? Everything's falling apart. No, God is still with you, and he's pursuing you with his abundant goodness and mercy.
That's great. Yeah, the psalm closes with this line, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And the psalmist uses a lot of metaphors. You know, we talked about the sheep and the shepherd, or the feast and the table, but the psalmist closes with this, I just think, powerful metaphor of home. "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And we're kind of confined to our homes these days. Our houses are really some of the only places of safety and rest that we have. The world is kind of crazy out there, but home is still home. And the psalmist draws on that metaphor to close this psalm. We will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so safety and security and rest can be found in Jesus Christ right now, just like home and forever. So let's look to our shepherd. Let's look to Jesus Christ. He does provide for me. He protects me. And we believe that he has good things for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again, remember to read and reread this psalm this week and in the days and weeks to come. Commit it to memory. And with that, let's kind of move to the next part. We want to do a creed today. And so it's going to be on your screen. And so we'll kind of, this is another one of those anchoring pieces of liturgy that helps us to remember the foundation upon which we stand. And so we're going to say this creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Amen. So I would love for you all to join me in prayer. So let's just take a moment to quiet our hearts before the Lord and bring those people and those things to mind that we need the Lord's intervention with. And let's pray to God alone who makes us dwell in safety. Lord, we just want to start by saying thank you. Thank you that we do have all that we need, that psalm teaches us that we shall not want. Help us, Lord, not to worry about tomorrow or project into next week or next month or next year, but to just place our hope and our faith in you. God, thank you that in the midst of trouble, in the midst of hardship, we are seeing signs of spring. I know yesterday was a beautiful day here, and that reminder that spring is coming is also a reminder that we are an Easter people, that we're a resurrection people, and that hallelujah is our song. And so, Lord, remind us of the glorious hope that we have. But, Lord, in spite of all that, we do need you. People are isolated. People are becoming fearful of being more isolated. People are ill. People are anxious. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would restore peace that surpasses understanding, restore health, bring connection, bring ways to be together in spite of not being able to be physically together. And Lord, we also pray for those guiding our nation, for those guiding Uganda and the nations of the world. Lord, I pray that you would give wisdom to policymakers. Lord, give them wisdom and humility. Help them to hear you. And Lord, we pray for healthcare workers. We pray for doctors and nurses and CNAs and medical researchers. Lord, I pray that you would give them wisdom. Use their wisdom, their knowledge, their compassion. Give them insight. Work through them. And Lord, we pray for the gravely ill. We first pray for healing for them. And Lord, we also pray for those who this day are dying. We pray that you would bring comfort, bring peace, bring the presence of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for those who walk in the valley of the shadow of death, help them to fear no evil and to just be supernaturally comforted by the presence of your Spirit with them. Pray for those who care for them as well. And Lord, we also lift up those who have experienced losses. Lord, help them to be comforted by the assurance of the resurrection and the hope that death does not get the last word. And so, Lord, finally, we give ourselves to you and all those who've come to mind during this time, all those in our circles who somehow our lives are affected by. We pray for your protection. We pray that this day we and all of those who we've thought of would know your goodness and your mercy and remember your house is not a building, but it's where two or more are gathered together, whether virtually or physically, Lord, that's where you are present. And so now I'm just going to say this. This is actually the third prayer for Lent. It's the collect for today. Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. Keep us both outwardly in our bodies and inwardly in our souls, that we may be defended from all adversities which may happen to the body, and from all evil thoughts which may assault and hurt the soul, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
So as we bring our time to a close, we really should just make it a point to give thanks. The Apostle Paul says that we should give thanks in all things. And so especially when times are difficult, when we're in troubled times, we need to very intentionally remember that we still have many things to be thankful for. And so we should give thanks. And so up on the screen is going to come what's called the general thanksgiving. And so let's say this prayer together. Almighty God, Father of all mercies, we, your unworthy servants, give you humble thanks for all your goodness and loving kindness to us and to all whom you have made. We bless you for our creation, preservation, and all the blessings of this life, but above all for your immeasurable love in the redemption of the world by our Lord Jesus Christ, for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. And we pray, give us such an awareness of your mercies that with truly thankful hearts we may show forth your praise, not only with our lips, but in our lives, by giving up ourselves to your service and by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory throughout all ages. Amen. It's really been wonderful to share this with you today. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your trust in him. Let's take his word into our hearts and let's pray for one another. And I hope that in your life groups and in your teams that serve around the church, I pray that you'll be able to connect with one another. Use Zoom, use the technologies that we have to connect with one another. I know that in this past week, our life group met via Zoom, and it was really good to be able to see one another and share with one another. Mm-hmm. To our brothers and sisters at St. Francis, we love you and we pray for you, and we ask you to pray for us. Lift up your leader in prayer, Onesimus. Follow him as he follows Christ, and I really want to ask you to hold up his arms in this time. He needs you. He needs you to pray for him. He needs your support as he tries to lead the congregation in this very challenging season. Now, for sure, we will not be meeting together next Sunday, and so we will be doing something like this once again. And so just be looking for that, and obviously we'll be communicating with you before next Sunday. But I just want to let you know that for sure we will not be meeting together next Sunday. So bringing our time to a close, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in the knowledge and love of God and of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. And the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Amen.
And go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Love you guys.